Our next case is Contract Yachts, Roger Caldwell v. Secretary of the Army, 2023-1373. Mr. Zachary Fletcher-Jacobson.
Yes, sir.
We note that there's a motion pending to submit additional documentation in support of appellant's request for remand, which clerk's office has found deficient in a couple of respects, and appellee has not had a chance to respond to, so you'll each have that opportunity during your appointed time now.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the Court. Good morning, and I'm here on behalf of Contract Watts Weijo Kugyo Joint Venture, the appellant in this matter. And we're here to ask this Court to reverse the Armed Service Board of Contract Appeals' dismissal of our claim appeal at the Board for lack of jurisdiction and to remand to the Board to allow it to proceed on the merits. But before I begin, I would like to address the motion that was filed on Friday and get that out of the way before proceeding with my argument. So as set out in the letter, a number of key issues that the Board considered and were briefed upon have since been resolved. Number one, no party in the joint venture disputes or objects to the certified claim that was filed on behalf of the joint venture.
How does that make any difference to the appeal, assuming we disagree with you on your main appeal that the board had jurisdiction all along?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. From our perspective, it doesn't change our argument at all. But what it would do is, similar to a defective certification or some other issue with a claim, it cures that deficiency because there's no longer an issue that the government has an interest in. And so
there's
now,
still no contracting officer's decision on your claim because the contracting officer refused to address your claim because it wasn't certified by the right people, right?
Well, Your Honor, this occurs for a number of reasons where we don't get a contracting officer's final decision, and it's treated as a deemed denial. Once it's in the
board. But it's a deemed denial when they don't respond in time. This wasn't a deemed denial because they responded and said, you haven't properly certified the claim. And so if you want to go forward on that claim, don't you have to resubmit it?
Once the appeal is filed with the Board of Contract Appeals, the contracting officer loses the authority to do anything with the claim, and it is now resting with the board. And so the board is now the
appropriate. But the board only reviews the contracting officer's decision, right? And the contracting officer's decision here was that it wasn't certified by a proper representative of the joint venture.
So the
board can review that. The board can't now review the merits of your claim when the merits of your claim had never been considered by the contracting officer or deemed denied by operation of law. Can it?
Well, yes, it can, Your Honor. Under the Contract Disputes Act, once the board is able to assume jurisdiction over a claim appeal, the claim, the contracting officer's final decision, that is all just part of the record. And we now will proceed with a complaint with an answer like any other litigation. And so the fact that the contracting officer didn't issue a final decision is not defective.
The contracting officer did issue a final decision. He said you didn't properly certify the claim.
Right, that's correct, Your Honor. We appealed that decision.
Right, and you lost.
At the board, yes, Your Honor.
And you're going to lose here, assuming you're going to lose here, I can't speak for my colleagues, you're going to lose with me because you didn't, the record is clear to me that you weren't authorized to submit that. Why don't you have to start over? I don't understand why you just didn't agree to this sooner and ask the agency. Maybe the agency will give you what you want and you'll stop wasting our time.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, this...
Did you notify the agency that you all have now agreed and that they should treat that claim as properly certified?
Yes, Your Honor.
Have you received... When did you do it? On May 31st?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we haven't heard from them yet.
That's correct,
Your Honor. How did you know that? Seven times the contracting officer... Well, just start up. You have this joint venture agreement, which on its face seems to say, except for your paragraph 5 argument, if this is a 50-50 deal, both sides have to agree to major issues. The contracting officer, when they realize there's a problem here, from the very beginning, the contracting officer says, who's going to be able to sign off? And you gave them, the joint venture gave them a letter signed by both chairmen of key corporate people with a corporate seal that said, here are the four people who are authorized, correct?
They were authorized representatives.
That's what they gave in that document. So it said both parties say, we agree that these people are people you can rely on for the contract, correct?
Yes.
Then what happened was some of those names got changed as the contract went on, and the joint venture never gave back to the contracting officer a similar document with both names on it saying, here are the people. Never gave them that.
Similar to the single document they're seeing.
Never gave them the single document that says both names, here's what it is, tell us who it is. The contracting officer needs to know. And so as this went on, I counted on the record 7 times. The contractor said in response to your first concerns, please give me a revised version of the original letter that has both names on it with a name certified. And you've never done that. And you have what you gave to us here is not that document. So the question is, why don't you simply give the contracting officer the document that she's asked for, signed by both parties? Now that you've kissed and made up, and the parties are no longer opposite, that would be a very simple document to give, right?
Well, Your Honor, it would be a simple document, but we're already at the Board of Contract Appeals, and this would be essentially starting the entire claims process.
Well, so assuming we lose here, is there anything that bars you from going back to the contracting officer with the documents that 7 times they've been asking for, that has both names on it, that says, here is Mr. So-and-so is authorized to file these 4 matters, the last 2 contract payments and the 2 REAs.
Well, Your Honor, we would have to start the entire, it would be a brand new claim, and so it would be subject
right,
to...
Right, but other than the fact that you might have to spend a little money to make up for the fact that 7 times you never gave her what they wanted, is there any estoppel here, or you have 6 years in which to file your claim, right?
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, but this requirement...
Are you worried about some kind of estoppel or bar that you'll be dealing with when you simply go back and file the piece of paper that has both names on it that says that here's the person that can file the 4 claims and then file it?
Well, no, Your Honor. The concern is that the government is demanding something that is not within their right to demand, and it's actually something that was not ever demanded.
Well, assume
before.
You lose on that. Assume you lose on the merits of the claim.
Right.
Except for the fact that you're out of money a little bit and you're unhappy that you lost on the merits of your claim, what is going to stop you from giving the contracting officer what they've asked for, which is a document authorizing persons to file these particular things signed by both parties with the seal?
Well, there would be nothing stopping them, Your Honor, from submitting that
and
document.
You've already written the claim. The claim hasn't changed, right?
Right, Your Honor. Other than, you know, there's the exchange rate and the interest calculations, but...
Fine, but... So you're essentially asking us to tell the board to do this rather than the agency. Why would the board want to do this?
Well, the matter is already before the board. The contracting officer...
Not properly.
No.
The premise of this all is, all these... Because we're talking about your motion. I'm past the merits of your argument. The premise of this, of my questions are, the board is right. The contracting officer properly refused to entertain your claim because it wasn't submitted by authorized representatives. So the board dismissed it. And that's going to get affirmed. So... How would we remand this to the board if it wasn't properly before them?
Well, Your Honor, this is akin to what you would see in sort of a defective certification situation. It's a curable defect, and the parties have cured that defect. And so rather than going all the way back to the very beginning and submitting a single document and then restarting the whole process, it could simply go to the board and proceed on the merits. It would be much more efficient.
It almost seems like you prefer an argument to the money. You have a way to get the money, but you're holding on to an argument.
Well, Your Honor, because once it goes back...
In those curable defect in certifications, hasn't the contracting officer often addressed the merits of the claim, too? And the government brings up a certification defect at the board?
Sometimes that occurs, Your Honor.
Yeah, but the contracting officer never addressed the merits of this claim. We have no idea whether the contracting officer agrees or disagrees with your client. And you're asking people farther along in the stage to address the merits of it when you might submit this claim to the, you said you submitted this to the government, so we'll ask them, but presumably they know that this claim is not properly certified. You might get a decision from them saying, yes, we agree with you. Here's your money.
Well, the issue with that, Your Honor, is procedurally they can't issue a decision because once it has left the contract.
Well, once we affirm the board's dismissal, they can, right?
Well, we would have to submit a new claim, and then they would review that claim essentially to know.
Well, I ask you if you submit. So you don't think you can submit a new claim to them now?
Well, we would submit it to them now, of course, yes, Your Honor.
Once you haven't done that yet.
Well, we can't because we're still in litigation of the existing. The claim is still live as part of the appeals process.
So you could withdraw your appeal here and let the board's dismissal stand and submit a new claim tomorrow.
We could do that, Your Honor, but now we're starting.
So you could wait for us to affirm the board's dismissal and submit a new claim.
We could also do that, Your Honor. But again, now we're starting the process over again. So the contracting officer now is going to have to issue the contracting officer's final decision again, and then we're going to have to go back to the board, presumably.
Why do you think you're going to have to go back to the board?
Well, because
if you think your claim is correct, don't you think the government's going to just give it to you?
Well, Your Honor, based on the interaction with this contracting officer, we're just not convinced that the contracting officer is going to give our claim.
The interactions with the contracting officer are saying, please give me the names of the people who actually authorized this file list. Is there anything at all that suggests that the contracting officer is going to deny the claim on its merits?
No, Your Honor. In fact, these are such routine requests, and especially the retainage and funding that has been put aside for progress.
So why don't you think the contracting officer won't give it to you once you file a properly certified claim?
Well, it's because we have the certainty of what we've already argued, we've already gotten our Rule 4 file at the board, we already have everybody in place, we can proceed. Starting
with that, I don't think you're going to get that. I don't understand why you're not just pursuing this at the proper place.
Well, Your Honor, at this point when this happened, we already were here. We already had arguments scheduled. We already had briefs filed. And, we received the document.
How long has this dispute been going on between the two parts of the joint venture? Why did it take to a week before oral argument to resolve this?
Well, I don't know, Your Honor. We're not representing Contract Watts in their dispute in Japan, so we don't really, I don't know the ins and outs of the procedures, but it's been going on since essentially the next to this dispute in the record where the contract.
Just one little question. How do we know you're authorized to be in front of us?
Well, Your Honor, because we're.
But you're representing the joint venture?
Yes, Your Honor.
Right. So how do I know the other side agreed to have you do that?
Well, the other side. Well, the board did not raise this issue.
Assuming we rule against you on the merits of your appeal, that paragraph 5 doesn't help you, and basically you can't. A decision to come here is one that required both of you to sign on the same piece of paper. Are we just dismissed for one of you? Well, there's no controversy. You're not here, right?
If that were included, the issue before the court.
Who knows on the merits, why did you have to bring this appeal?
Well, the issue before the court, Your Honor, is just on the narrow CDA jurisdictional issue of whether you needed that two signature requirement in submitting the claim.
The question I have to boil it down is that time is what matters here. If you're correct, and if the government, and I hope you are, that nothing bars you from going and filing new claims, right? And it looks like the two contract payments are just money that had to be had, no objection. The RAs, there may be some objection. We don't know about those, right? Well, so that's what I mean. If you could withdraw this appeal and refile within a week, probably get your money. If it took us a year to decide the case, right, you'd have to wait.
Well, Your Honor, if we go back to the contracting officer, we're going to have to wait months, if not a year, for them to issue a decision, and if that's assuming...
Said this was routine.
Well, because of the time it takes for a contracting officer to review everything, because they have to go through all the financials of these projects. The submission, we only put a very...
Yeah, we're going to have to go through that anyhow. So all I'm saying is if it took us a year to decide the case, that's just another year you have to wait.
Well, there is one risk that I want to draw your attention to, Your Honor, and it's that there is the factual determination of whether there is, in fact, an issue with the statute of limitations because it's a claim accrual standard, which is very fact-dependent. And the performance of this contract has been going on since outside of the 6-year statute of limitations. And we think we have a very compelling argument that all the claims did accrue within the statute of limitations. But because some of that contract performance is outside of the window, there is the chance the government may disagree. And we'll be right back at the board having a different argument. Only this time it will be on statute of limitations, and it will be all because we followed the appeals process to where it led us, Your Honor, and we did, we were unable to succeed.
Counsel, you're almost through your time, but we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal, and we'll hear from Mr. Long.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the Court, good morning. One quick point, I think, and then I look forward to the Court's questions, if any. I just want to distinguish, I think there was some perhaps conflation between the certification issue and the authorization issue. I just wanted to make clear for the panel that, for the Court, that this goes to authorization, the question of who could submit a claim, as opposed to the certification issue, which can be bound up without the ASB, it can be resolved without the board losing jurisdiction. The board expressly concluded in its decision it was not a certification issue here, but rather a question of who was able to speak for the joint venture in submitting the claim. The statutory requirement is that there be a claim by the contractor. That was not present here, so I just wanted to clear that up. And one other point.
So, just to make sure I understand, your view of what the board said is, there's no claim by the contractor at all, not that the contractor submitted a claim that wasn't properly certified.
Correct, Your Honor. And
so I take it then your argument in response to what we've been talking about is there's nothing to remand to the board because there's no proper claim before the board.
Correct. There's no claim submitted to the contracting officer and no claim in front of the board. The contracting officer did issue a letter saying you haven't presented a proper claim, but the claim that preceded it, or the purported claim that preceded it, wasn't by the contractor for reasons, I think.
Do you have any sense of whether there's going to be any statute of limitations difficulties if they resubmit their claim?
I don't have a sense of that, Your Honor. I'm not sure exactly what the accrual date would be for some of these expenses and how that would play against the presentment requirement.
The government hasn't responded to the motion to submit additional documents. Do you have any position on that?
Yes, Your Honor. The court should deny the motion. The record's closed. Rule 16, for starters, provides that the record includes the materials before the ASBCA. This obviously wasn't before them. And there's no extenuating circumstance or any reason why this should be admitted to the record now. There's a suggestion of mootness, I think, in CWI's or appellant's motion. There may not be a controversy between CWI and UK, but there is a controversy between the Secretary of the Army and the joint venture, and we are obviously defending the ASBCA's jurisdictional dismissal, and so this matter isn't moot. To the extent this might be evidence, the record is closed, and there's been no reason given why the record should be reopened to admit this document. So it should neither be considered for mootness nor considered for the merits issues, Your Honor.
If we disagreed with you, what is your comment on the content of the letter?
Sure. So the contents that I will say that it is the contracting officers will be the one to sort of decide what this means, obviously. It is closer, I think, to the sort of writing that the Corps was looking for in terms of explaining who could do what for the joint venture. But I'll note that the appellant in its briefing rejected this January 2021 letter that was submitted by UK, and the reason why CWI rejected that in its briefing was because only UK had submitted it. That letter had a qualification that appellant doesn't like, which is all matters must be approved by the supervisory board. This letter also only signed by UK. And so it may run against Article 3.4 of the joint venture agreement, which says that any authority to act must be in a writing signed, any authority to act for the JV must be in a writing signed by both parties. Now,
So in your view, if they want to submit a proper claim, contracting party claim, they need to do what the contracting author says, which is submit a letter to them signed by the board saying these are the people that can authorize a claim.
Right. Signed by the board, I think it could be signed by both parties, both saying these are the people, akin to the 2016 letter.
And none of this does that.
Right. None of this does that. That 2016 letter explains who can do what.
Isn't the contracting officer saying consistently throughout,
give me what you gave me that started this whole contract.
Yes.
Give me a document that's signed by both parties with an official seal saying this is a corporate act or an act of both members. So that's what they want?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the record is clear that the contracting officer did do that. There were no objections raised to the 2016 letter. It was viewed as sufficient and a correct or proper identification of who could speak for and bind the contractor. Nothing that followed that 2016 letter had the same effect. And that, yes, Your Honor, we agree. That was the contracting officer.
Isn't the effect of this late filed motion simply saying to us, just please adjudicate the case in their favor, send it back to the board saying, all Section 5 has authorized this person to file this from the very beginning. You just made a terrible mistake. The contracting officer made a mistake. The case is properly in front of you.
Right.
That's what they're asking.
That's what they're asking for, Your Honor. And I will say, to the extent this is...
In some sense, what they submitted, even if we accept it, doesn't matter to your legal arguments, right?
Correct, Your Honor. Yeah. That's right. And one other thing I'll point out, Your Honor, for the court is... There was some discussion about how long it might take the contracting officer to respond to a claim. I just want to note that the CDA does have requirement that a decision be issued in a reasonable time. So any concern that this would drag on for years, I think, would run into that reasonableness.
Doesn't the contract provide that in terms of these periodic payments, that if the payment is submitted to the contracting officer and appears to be correct in form, the payment is, the authority to pay, it's automatic, and the money will go into the bank account?
I confess, Your Honor, I'm not certain about
that. I think that's what the contracting officer says. So my question is, where does the contracting officer get the authority to refuse to pay? Is there, where's the statutory authority?
So it is...
Contracting officer said, I'm just not going to pay this.
Well, the contracting officer said, I need to know who can submit invoices. Who is saying these amounts are due from the government? And for a while, that wasn't an issue, as far as I can tell, until we reached a point when certain people left CWI and it became less clear who could speak for the contractor. And so that was the contracting officer's concern. And I think that's what was communicated in that series of letters that began in late 2020 going forward into 2021.
Well, is there a specific provision that requires the claim to be filed somebody who's authorized, or is that simply in the nature of the contract?
So the Contract Disputes Act requires that the claim be submitted by a contractor. And in the case of a JV, the contractor is the JV. That's who's contracted with the government, not the individual.
Implicit in that requirement is that the person filing it has to have the authority to file?
For the JV. Not authority.
Yes.
The person who's submitting the purported CDA claim, Omar Al-Bassouni in this instance, has to have authority to speak for the JV. If there are no further questions, we ask that you affirm the board's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Jacobson has...
Yes, Your Honor.
2 minutes for rebuttal.
I will be brief. To sort of set some context for these, these letters that were exchanged with the government. Number one, the joint venture agreement doesn't set forth any requirement that they designate an individual to speak on behalf of the joint venture. And in fact, that requirement doesn't exist in FAR, it doesn't exist in law. It's something this contracting officer imposed upon the joint venture. However, I think the record is pretty clear that these issues came up not over a mere personnel change, but because there was a dispute between the joint venturers and one of the venturers who previously had not communicated with the government at all, started sending letters and emails to the government. And the government's actions here exceeded the authority that you would typically expect from a contracting officer by getting involved in a joint venture's dispute. And so the whole reason we're here, we're talking about routine invoices, we're talking about letters. The government, it wasn't just the claim. The government refused to accept anything from the joint venture unless it had a piece of paper with two signatures on it, which it wasn't going to get, frankly, because the parties were in the middle of the dispute. And now that the dispute is resolved, what the government is essentially saying is we have to go back and start over all over again and hope that the government will this time cooperate with the joint venture. We ask that you, therefore, reverse the...
Well, the problem wasn't that the government's making, right?
Well, there's no requirement...
If you have a joint venture, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
You need to have some authority. Somebody has to act for the joint venture, right?
Well, the presumption, Your Honor, is anyone acting on behalf of the joint venture who works for one of the ventures has the authority.
Where's the presumption?
It's, well, this court's decision, the Salemi decision, Your Honor, that's where it said, if we're barring some sort of restriction in the joint venture agreement, the presumption, the legal presumption, is that really anyone who works for the joint venture reportedly could bond. It's just like with any other company. If a vice president...
And when you read this joint venture contract and you say, does it look well, like... Yeah, that is your problem.
There's a problem, yes, Your Honor. Is what does the joint venture contract say?
At what point in time was the contracting officer made aware of the contents of the joint venture agreement?
Well, the joint venture agreement, Your Honor, was included in the initial proposal that the parties sent.
The contract was then removed from the get-go.
Yes, Your Honor. That's
presumably why the contracting officer, somebody asked for the initial, like, 2001, whatever, to give me a letter with both people's names on.
Well, Your Honor, since we haven't had an opportunity to discover, we don't know where that letter came from, but what we do know is that both parties signed the contract because they had to sign their final proposal.
We don't know where that letter came from, isn't it? From your client?
Well, no, it is from our client, Your Honor. It's that the record was not developed to establish, was this requested by the government? Did they just do this on their own accord? That's something that we would want to, if this issue were to come up again, to be developed through discovery.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case is submitted.